Heavenly Daddy, we just want to say a big thank you for today. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for health. Thank you for vitality. Thank you for Bible study.
Yes,
thank you that we can camp around your Holy Spirit, even from different parts of the world. We just pray that you speak directly to our hearts.
Yes,
let
Lord.
Your word be like a sword that pierces even to the dividing asunder of our souls from our spirits, our joints from our marrow. Let it discern the thoughts and the intent of our hearts. Let it be a hammer that breaks every yoke, everything that does not belong to you, oh Lord. Let your word be like water that suits the soul, that cools our hearts, cools our bodies, cools our minds and our spirits. And let it be a fire that sets us on fire for you, so that we can go into the new earth that you have prepared for us, so that we can do what you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.
And everybody said amen. Once again, let us know the city where you're joining us from. If you're from outside Liverpool or you're outside the United Kingdom. Okay, so last week, right, some questions were asked. Somebody did ask and said, does everybody have an altar? Again, love Slido, hashtag love Slido. That is where you can throw your questions. And please, if you are there, just let us know you're there. Just type in, I am here. I am here. All right, let's go build an altar there tonight. Just joking. Right. You know, last week, you took us, I remembered, to what happened, a showdown. I'll call it a showdown between a prophet of God and prophets of idols called Baal. And I think we see that story in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings is in the Old Testament, 1 Kings and chapter 18. And there was a gathering between one prophet called Elijah and I think, how many prophets were they? I'm trying to remember. 450, right? There's a reason why I want us to look at this, because there was, when you look at that in today's parlance, that's a minority versus a majority. So 450 of them were going in a specific direction, and their Baal, all right, is their God, where they build altars and sacrifice to. But then Elijah was a prophet of God, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of the heaven and earth, not a little G-O-D, who is not the creator of the heaven and earth, but a creation of mankind. Because at times people do ask, what's the difference between God, the big G-O-D, and God, small letter G-O-D? And this is a simple question, I mean, answer I give. The big G-O-D is the source of all life, all living, is the creator. And the small G-O-D is created by man. Because when you look at it, these gods are either gods of iron, gods of the sun, gods of the moon, you know, the sun god, the moon god. Even some people worship stars. Some people create gods out of animals, you know. So they are created by man. But the G-O-D is the creator of all. So, but then your focus, which you started teaching us, was raising altar. That is building altar. So if someone wants to know tonight, what exactly is an altar? Before we look at because you were sharing with us 12 things last week, that we just bringing out a little bit of explanation of those 12 stones that Elijah used to build, 12 stones that he used to build an altar to God. So, yeah, what is an altar? What is this altar all about? How would you explain to someone what an altar simply is?
Thank you very much for that question, Pastor. I'll define an altar as it's a place of meeting, a place where, as I said last week, a place where humanity meets divinity. So you, the worshiper, you meet with what you worship. So that could be anything at all. Anything at all. So that's the simple definition for anyone.
I love that. The place where the worshiper meets with what they are worshiping.
Yes.
Okay. So on these altars, what usually happens on the altar? You know, in that year, a meeting place. So, like, I remember last week you did use the word source, that whatever people believe is their source,
yes,
becomes a god to them.
To them, yes.
That's what they literally are worshiping. Yes. So, for example, if somebody believes their source is their career,
yeah,
they are going to worship that career.
Yes.
So, what sort of themes in terms of that worship? Because you used two words, worth and sheep, last week. Yeah. So, how do people worship? What sort of stuff do they do?
Yeah, so from the word worship, and I said last week, worth and sheep. So it's something you just give a whole lot of regard for, so much that you're willing to let go of everything else to honor that thing. So that means that you would always rearrange your time, your day, your priority around that thing. So anything is going to happen around that source, you will rather shift everything else but that source. So your day would be set from that source. So that source will not be movable wherever it's placed in your calendar, but everything else has to be moved to give place or to give time or to give a place of high regard for that thing or that source. So that would be a simple way of putting it.
So if God, the creator, is that source, I give my worth and relations and I relate with, everything about my life revolves around God.
Yes.
And takes meaning from him. So if it's something else, like, for example, I gave the example of career, it means the career now becomes everything that I take my relevance and everything from.
Yes.
So what are some other examples of gods that people can worship? Because then we will be able to answer this question somebody's asking from last week. Does everybody have an altar?
Yeah.
So do you want to tell us some other gods that people raise altars to and they don't realize?
A good example would be ourselves. So just yourself, you look up to yourself, you worship yourself, you do everything around yourself. I think that would be the easiest one, especially in our day and time of social media, where we create a version of ourselves that we give a lot of regard to. Nothing can touch that version of ourselves. Nothing must say anything negative about that version of ourselves. Even how that version of ourselves is portrayed must be perfect. So that would be like the simplest, easiest one that anyone in the digital world today can actually relate to. So there are other ones as well. In our times, sports is one. The news is another one. Money is a really, really big one, because even the Bible talks about the fight between the worship of God and the worship of money. So money is another one. So our, as I've said, our person's personality and everything that has to do with our person would be an example of other idols or other gods that we worship.
Mm. All right. So having established that, because every other thing you've mentioned apart from the creator was created. So if self becomes the God we worship, where we worship ourself, and when we really look at it, Jesus said, that self, we've got to die to. You know? So we were created. If money becomes what we worship, becomes our source, money was created. If football, sports, no, I know you cleverly said sports, but there's one idol that was worshipped for the past five or so weeks across Europe, you know, that never came home. You know, let me be spiritually and politically correct now. You know, for example, you know, that every other thing gave way to that idol of football. You know, football was created. I'm trying to remember the what else you mentioned. You know,
politics.
Yeah. News, you said news and things like news. That. You know, so these are all creations of man. Okay. So that brings us to that question. Does everybody have an altar? What would you say about that?
Yes, emphatically yes.
Okay. Yeah. Will you expand it?
Altar.
Now let's go by your simple definition so that the child watching can understand and flow. So, altar is the place where the worshiper meets what he's worshiping.
Yes.
I just love that simple definition. Okay. So, does everybody then have an altar?
Yes.
You said yes. Okay. So, can you expand on that?
So, as I said, it's everyone has something that is important to them. And if you look at our lives, no matter where you are, whether you're a young person, you're a child, you're an adult, you're an elderly person, there's something that is important to you. Mm. And if you look at what that thing is, you find out that you've got a lot of things that you look at. There's some things you engage with, but there are some things that are more important than other things. And then you start to find out where your altar is when you look at the things that you cannot shift for any other thing. So there are some things you check, if you check yourself and you find out that there's one thing or there are two things that no matter what happens, nothing can shake that thing, then you have an idea of where your altar is. Mm. So as I said, for the people like, as you use the example of the career, for example, if you find out that you will never ever shift anything that has to do with your career, even at the cost of your health, at the cost of your life, at the cost of your family, you find out that that has become your idol and your place of work now becomes the altar because you don't do anything to shift. Even if the doctor tells you, you will die next week, you rather die at that altar than to die at home. So that's just a simple way to actually find out what that altar is and what that idol is.
And that altar, that idol, can also can be at the expense of God. You will, even God, you are ready to shift. I mean, put God in the back seat.
Yeah, because God is not your God, so automatically God will not be in that important place. So God is defined as we said, what our source is. So even though there's a source that is the source, but we have chosen that this other thing is our source, then that thing now becomes God. And then the real God shifts away from being the real God to us as a person.
Yeah, I can read some comments here. So people say musicians, you know, some people can make musicians idols. Someone said K-pop idol. I think some people here are very modern. Okay, somebody's asking, can my parents be an idol? And this is a child.
Yeah. I think yes, our parents can be our idols. And we've seen even people say it, even in everyday conversation, that, you know what, my dad is my idol, or my mom is my idol. So yes, it is actually possible for our parents to be our idols.
And I think also, you know, when our parents now take the place of God in our lives, you know, so that the child will, where you don't really believe in God, but you believe in your parents. Mm. You don't pray to God, you pray to your parents. Your parents are your all in all. And, you know, this is a very good question that a child is asking, because you see that later in life, some people, the loss of a parent means the loss of everything to them. They can't cope with life anymore. And that's why, you know, as parents, it's always good to let our children know that there is a source. There is God. Introduce them to God early so that they know who their real source is. So that when daddy and mommy are no longer there, they know that there is a God who Jesus introduces as our Father, who is in heaven. He's our Father. He's our source. He's the father of even our own parents. You know, I think there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, you know, my father's God, the God of our fathers. So he should be the source of all. So your parents, you can love your parents, you can honor your parents, but don't make your parents God. Okay, if you say your dad is your idol, your mom is your idol, you know, people say it in a deferential way, but don't say it in a way that they replace God in your life. Okay, so that's that. Okay, let us go to 1 Kings 18 and quickly remind ourselves as we look forward to more questions and participation. Let's see their participation, please. Those on Facebook, on the live stream, we would like to hear your comments, things you think can become idols, gods, you know, sacrifice, altar. Like we've had a very simple yet profound definition tonight. The place where the worshiper meets what he's worshiping. That's where an altar literally is. And Daddy AY told us now, like we learned just now, that your office can become a place where, you know, can become like an altar. You will shift everything in life for your career, for work and all that. Because I've seen people, sir, who will make decisions. They don't care. It's all about their career. Hmm. They won't listen to sound counsel. They won't think about their family. They won't think about their young children. It's all about career. They will sacrifice their children on the altar of a career. I have seen it. I tell you, we have seen these things in people we've had spiritual oversight over the years. All right. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 18, if you want to take us from that verse 31, 1 Corinthians, sorry, 1 Kings, I don't know why Corinthians is coming to me tonight. Maybe we should go and visit Corinth, our next holidays after New York. Or maybe someone online is watching from Corinth. I think Corinth is in Greece, is it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, maybe we should go to Greece.
Yeah, they've
okay.
Yeah,
all right. Yes, someone said this, and I must say it because I'm a pastor. Except for some people, their pastor can be their idol. Very, very true.
That's true.
Very, very true. Thank you for that one, Adeola Patrick. Thank you very much. Walking for God can become an idol in place of walking with God.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Professor Jojo. These are very profound, profound. You know, just today, you know, going back at what Adeola Patrick just texted, I was having a discussion with my wife that I've seen where some men of God, pastors, to people, they can never be wrong. Their pastor can never, never be wrong. Whatever they say, and is glaringly even to a child that, come on, this so-called man of God has missed it here. But no, it can be wrong. At that point, the pastor has become an idol. He's become what we worship in place of God. You know, men of God, where we worship men of God, not the God of men. So there is a difference. Yes, sir.
Yes, I also wanted to say that it could also affect parents as well, where parents think they can never be wrong as well. So that is also a place where parents can become God to their children. So just another way where it's possible that the parents can never be wrong, even when the children or people around can see that. So that's another way that someone just told me about, that the parents can become God to their children. So that's interesting
too. Someone put a comment before, Kingsley, say, Pastor, I don't mind going with you. I don't know what he means by that. Please go with Jesus.
Let me go into heaven.
Okay, you follow me, like Paul said, as I follow Christ. If I stop following Christ, please don't go with me. Okay, I tell people, you know, the madness and you know, we're in the social media generation age where, yeah, you go online, you go on any of these social media platforms, the first thing everybody's looking for is followers. You know, you post something, you want people to follow it, you want people to like it, you want people to share it, you know, get on there, you want as many people, and now the world judges people on social media. They call them influencers by how many people follow them. But then, one of the questions I ask myself objectively and sincerely, before I follow you, excuse me, I want to know where you're going. I mean, that's sensible. I want to know where you are going. I don't care if you have 1 billion people following you. You can take 1 billion people with you too and jump inside the River Mercy here or take them to hell. No, where are you going before I follow you? A balance from a mom. Children can become idols
to their parents.
To their parents.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Please, let's keep it flowing. Thank you. Wow, I think I know who that is. She's gold. Wura Olawale, thank you for that contribution from wherever you're contributing from. And let me say this too. Your spouse can also become an idol.
Yep.
You know, my wife is saying, here too. Yeah, you can make your spouse also an idol. Let me borrow what my wife always says. It's always good. You've got to know God for yourself. Know God. Know the God you worship, the God you're serving, the God you are following. Make sure it's not man, it is the creator of man. It's not the man of God, it's the God of the man. You follow a man or a woman as they follow God. That's Paul's balanced teaching in the Bible. So in other words, you see me going astray, don't follow me. You see me following Jesus, follow me as I follow Christ. Thank you. All these contributions are awesome. 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 Okay. All right. So Elijah took 12 stones. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 31. Okay, let's start from the verse 30. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You shared that with us last week. And then, verse 31, Elijah takes 12 stones. 12. According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, Israel shall be your name. So, last week, you were sharing with us 12, you know, what these 12 stones could be like scripturally. Not saying exactly that that was the 12 stones he picked there, because it was according to the number of tribes of sons of Jacob, but bringing out something very prophetic and profound. So the first thing you told us last week, you shared with us, was stone number one, worship. That's the, you know, 12 stones to build the altar, because that's what he used to raise up that, to build that altar. Because verse 32, if we look at verse 32, the Bible says, then with the stones, the 12 stones, right, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seers of seed. So stone number one, which you're going to expound to us tonight, because we stopped last week at number 8. So as a refresher, you told us stone of worship, worship. And we've seen tonight as a reminder to us what we will leave everything to go after, to sacrifice for, that's worth sheep. Thank you, Mama Daisy. Problems and life challenges can become idols. Yes, that we worship and sacrifice to. Thank you for that profound contribution. So worship, stone number one. Stone number two, word of God. Any altar we build must be according to the word of God, the dictates, the guideline must be the word of God. 3, excellence. You know, God is excellent. You share that with us. How excellent is your name, O God, in all the earth. 4, diligence. Stone of diligence. You know, the Bible says, you see a man who's diligent in his business, he will stand before kings, not before mean men. And the Bible also tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to God in Hebrews chapter 11 must believe that God is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently. So we must diligently worship on that altar. Number 5, the name of Jesus. That's right. That's what we must call upon. That's what we must call upon on the altar raised unto God. Number 6, the blood of Jesus. The blood of sprinkling, the blood of sacrifice, the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We can approach God, the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus. And then number 7, faith of God, faith in God. You know, Hebrews 11:6, same thing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then last week, we stopped at the anointing of God. What will you say about that? Please keep the questions coming. Keep the contribution coming. We're talking today about building a new altar. We've just looked at, we're looking at 12 stones, symbolic. What these 12 stones could be or more. All right. So, hashtag again, love Slido. And the topic, building a new altar. And keep your Facebook comments and questions coming up. So we stopped at stone number 8, building that we can use to build an altar unto God, the anointing of God. So do you want to explain that, or do we quickly take this question? Thank you for that contribution online. Please, sirs, kindly explain to my teenagers how to strike a balance between loving someone or something beautiful and idolizing them. Loving someone or something and idolizing them. Right. let me quickly jump in there. Loving someone and idolizing. Now, we have to also understand that word love and that word lust. There are two things. Because some of our young people, not even young people, some of adults too, can differentiate between love and lust, L-U-S-T. The simplest way I've found out that it was about love is, you know, when you love someone, the center of that love you have for that person is God, because God is love. So the way you will relate with that person is the way God wants you to relate with them. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love is gentle. Love is, you know, we see all those attributes listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So the center of your love, of your relationship to someone you love is God. But lust, the center of lust is you, self. What can I get from this person? You are using somebody to satisfy your own desires. That is lust. So let's separate that first. Because if we understand the difference between love and lust, let me repeat, love is when the way you relate with someone is dictated by the way God says you should love somebody, the way God says you should relate with them. That's love. That's what shows you love somebody. But when you lust after somebody, because people at times don't know the difference. You just think, oh, yeah, I'm crazy when I see this person. Oh, I can go to any extent. I can buy them a shoe. I can take them to Hawaii. But check your motive. It's your own desire. You are the center of what you are doing to them. You are doing it for what you can get from them. That's lust. You are the God of that relationship, not God. And the moment they don't satisfy your desires, those you're lost again, bam, that's it. It goes. So that's one thing. So idolizing. Just like you have said, how do I idolize someone? Maybe you want to talk about how we idolize someone. How we can idolize someone.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for that question. I think what was coming to my mind as you were talking is sometimes you could also love that person not because of yourself, and that's where idolatry now comes in. So you love that person, like, as they say, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So, but now all your affection goes towards that person. And now the object is not yourself, but the object is that person. So in that regard, that person has now become God to you.
That's
so
right.
So you've now idolized that person. So it may not be selfish. It may be you want to put all your love on that person, which is what we, another way, because even God that we worship, one of the ways we worship God is to love him with all our being. So if you start loving people with all your being, because there's something you said a few minutes ago, so that you love people the way God wants you to love them. So God defines the parameter of love, and the one he defined solely for himself is the one that he says, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's is the one to God, you know. And then you love your neighbor as yourself, or you love him as Christ has loved you. So he has set like standards for love. They're both high, don't get me wrong, but when all that love, that the way God wants you to love him, you now love that person that way, then I think you have shifted from loving that person to now idolizing that person. So I think that would be a good way to put it.
Okay. Practically speaking, what are some signs that, wait a minute, this is not loving this person anymore. This is idolizing this person. Let me give an example. If this may sound very funny, you want to go, let's say, oh, you want to go to a church service to worship. And the person says, look, if you love me, don't go to church today. That's one practical way. Another way, if you love me, then what your mom is saying, don't listen to your mom. Listen to me. Listen to me. I love you more than your mom. So listen to me. Don't listen to your parents. Listen to me. Idolizing. I can hear Mommy Sissy in the studio there, your home studio. What she's saying? Can you echo what she's saying?
Well, she said, if it's your wife saying that, she's not wrong.
If your wife is saying you shouldn't listen, I think she should come on camera. I'm sure she's joking. You know, where the person now takes the place of God, they are the center of everything you do. That's idolizing. You don't listen to nobody anymore. Where it now becomes abuse of your own self. They are abusing you. They are abnormally using you. Yeah. Wura says that example of idolizing someone when the person can do no wrong.
Yes.
That's it. To you, that person, you know, I was listening one day to a lady giving a testimony on a Christian channel. Said, look, no, it wasn't on a Christian channel. Let me retract that. I went and I happened to be in one church like that many years ago. Said, look, I have come to understand this man of God. Was talking about the pastor. Anything he says is what God is saying. Anything that comes out of his mouth. And in all sincerity, I just had the man prophesy something that was not scriptural. I was sitting down there. I said, no, what this man just said is not in the Bible. And here's someone coming out to testify that this man is a man of God. Anything, she emphasizes that I so much believe my pastor. So that also, when the person can do no wrong to you, you just literally, I adore them. When you wake up in the morning, yes, let me talk from experience. They are the first thing that comes to your mind. During the day, they occupy all your thinking. You're thinking about them. You want to sleep at night. You're thinking about them. You're dreaming about them. They've literally entered your consciousness. That's idolizing. God should take that place on the altar of our hearts, not people. Because the people you idolize can change, they can die, they can leave you, they can walk away, and that's when people get brokenhearted. Wow, the contributions tonight are fantastic. Thank you for the participation. The anointing, that's the 8 stone. I want you to talk about the 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 quickly, sir. Just mention them like that, and then we'll look at what some people are also saying, because there's a big question here. How do I get rid of idols? Yes, sir. So anointing, the stone, yeah, number 8, anointing of God.
Yeah, anointing of God is number 8. I'll just run through them because of our time.
Yeah.
The unconventional. So it's number 9. Creativity is number 10.
When you say unconventional, what do you mean, sir?
So doing things that is not the norm. So you're doing something new, something unusual, but still brings out a godly result. So it's not something that anyone has done before. But we know, because our God is new, our God is our source, is new. He brings mercies every day that are new. So God brings new ways of doing things that still brings honor and still brings glory to his name.
Okay.
So that's the unconventional, yes.
Okay, creativity, number 10.
Yeah, creativity, or being creative. Our God is creative, we know. God created all life, all intelligence. So that's just having that God's DNA on the inside of us. So building our altars with that
and
DNA.
He's the creator.
The creator.
The creator. Okay. Yes, sir. Number 11.
Number 11 is the teachings of Jesus. The words, teachings of Jesus. And number 12 is our offerings.
Our offerings. Yes. All right. Thank you for that. I'm trying to see, did I see something about offering that somebody asked before? Thank you, Khan Lala. Number 7, I think maybe they're asking what number 7 is. Number 7 is the faith of God.
Yeah, the faith of God.
Faith in God. That's what we mentioned. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So these are the 12 stones that, you know, the whole idea is just that whatever we sacrifice or worship, whatever altar, these are the things that should guide what we do in that place of altar where the worshiper meets God in this context that we are worshiping. We must worship Him in spirit and truth. We must worship Him according to His word, excellently, diligently, using the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the faith of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And the Bible says, by reason of the anointing, yokes are destroyed, burdens are lifted. So, and we must be ready open-heartedly to do unconventional things. Unconventional things. You know, as long as it brings glory to God. Because when we look at the word new altar that we're talking about, there are just so many things now. And we become creative. The word new is the word, one of the meanings of the word new is creative. It's also different. So different, unconventional, okay? The teachings of Jesus must be according to the... And our offerings, of course, must be what God instructs that we should offer.
Yes.
All right. Seed time, harvest time shall not cease. The Bible tells us in Genesis 8, 20 to 22. Okay, let's look at quickly comments as we begin to round up quickly. Other idols, TV games, friends, pastors, denominations, spouse, fame, celebrities can be idols. Going abroad can be an idol. Blue passport, red passport can be an idol. Doing God's work can be an idol as opposed to being with God. Learning from Mary and Martha. And then big question tonight, how do I get rid of idols? I think if I will give a shot at that, number one, you've got to first of all recognize what has become an idol or idols in your life. Because, you know, there are things, sir, you may not know have become idols. You know, one of my favorite stories, which I learned a bit about idolatry, was, you know, so I can say it, I've said it before, my wife knows this story. Someone that I thought I heard God say to me was going to be my wife. I mean, that year I heard a voice. It was a gentle voice. And the voice said, that is your wife. I saw this lady, never seen her before in my life. Met her at a bus stop, and that's what I heard. And I was wondering, did I hear this? Is this God? So out of curiosity, of course, I wanted to know. Let me just cut a long story. We entered the same taxi. We got talking. Normally, I don't talk to strangers like that, but I was moving by what I heard. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But then the question later in, was it God that spoke? Or was it my heart? Or was it, I don't know. But this is the lesson I learned from it. Now, fast forward for 4 years. This person was...
Who got rid of Pastor? Pastor has been locked out temporarily. Yeah. I was asking who got rid of Pastor. Has he become-
Maybe because I was about to tell an idolatrous story. The internet can become an idol too. I don't know what happened. My internet just kicked me out. All right. So quickly, anyway, got to know this person 4 years. It wasn't like the person didn't agree to marry me. You get me? But I just believed and I held on to what I believed I heard for 4 years, relating with the person. Maybe the person might even stumble on this broadcast. You know, very interesting because I can laugh over this. And to God be the glory, happily married today, 23 years, I'm still counting, 23 years and many months and many years to go, happily married to my wife of my youth, the one God gave me. She's not an idol to me. I'm not an idol to her. She's my helpmate. I'm a helpmate. We know the place of God in our marriage. Neither of us takes the place of God in each other's life. So anyway, this person, 4 good years, Daddy AY. I will wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about her. I'm doing my devotion, I'm thinking about her. I'm studying the Bible, I'm getting revelations. The first person I want to share the revelation to is with her. So I quickly scribble revelations, notes, bundles of, you know, notes I will write, send it to her. Because, wow, revelation God has given to me. You know, 4 years. And then after the fourth year, I got tired of waiting for 4 years. So I said, you know, I had to, please, I need to know, will you marry me? You know, you've not said it 4 years now, you know. And then 1st of January 1996, my New Year's present came in form of a big no after 4 years. Well, the painful part of it was that, oh, wait a minute, you're asking me this question. I thought I told you 4 years ago, no show. You know? But then it was painful. Oh, it hurt my flesh. And then I was praying. I said, Lord. And I, this time, clearly, God told me she has become an idol to you. And you can never marry an idol. Never. You wake up in the morning, and I was wondering how. I said, check your life. She's the first thing on your mind. When you're even studying the Bible, you're studying the Bible to share revelation with her. I mean, I thank God for the long suffering I developed over those 4 years, because I developed it for the right person at the end of the day. Waiting, patiently waiting for someone who literally told me, come on, I've forgotten you 4 years back. You're the one wasting your time all these 4 years. Wow. But God was telling me, no, see, she has become an idol. So I had to go into what I call a self-quarantine. You know, quarantine didn't just start with COVID, sir. With me. I went on a 6-month quarantine fasting. Yeah, I think somebody did ask a question about fasting. Yeah. Can we bring that question back? So I went 6 months, literally, waited on the Lord, fasting and good enough. That was the first time in that year, for those who have been long enough in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, that 100 days fast was declared. That 100 days fast was for me, because that helped me. I went on the 100 days fast to quarantine myself that God, I need to sort my life out. My heart is not right. Get rid of everything that is not of you in my life. And I literally had to get this person out of my heart, literally. You know, not in a, what's the word? Terrible sense, because at the end of the day, we're talking about a human being. I'm the one who put the person on my on the altar and I was worshiping for 4 years. So I had to literally, I had to pray. I had to say, God, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. So first of all, you have to realize that there's an idol. So that's the question before we take this last one tonight about how can we get rid of idols. You've got to recognize the idols. And sincerely, I would say pray. Peradventure, I don't know there's an idol in my heart. I've begun to worship something. I don't realize that a gift God has given me has become an idol. A problem that's bothering me has become some. Anything that just occupies your mind, takes over your life. It's like your world is revolving around. Whether in a subtle way like mine, because if you look at me, I was studying the scriptures, brother. I was, in fact, that's when I was even getting revelations about marriage. The revelations, some of the things I even teach today and practice in my home. It was those years God was showing me things about marriage, relationships. And through that experience, it worked, it turned around for my good. That's why when I share with people and counsel people about relationships today, I'm coming from the depth of my pain. How I learned to walk with the comforter, receive the comforting of the Holy Spirit, and I can use it to guide other people. So I can, in a way, tell when somebody's idolizing somebody from my own little experience and walk with God. So what is that thing that is just taking over your life, whether subtly or consciously? You wake up, it's the first thing in your mind. You're walking on the road, you're thinking about it. People, career, whatever, you wake up, that's my job. You know, I remember a friend of mine, a colleague, said it took him long before he found a job. He's found his job, he doesn't joke with the job. He walks his head off. He comes to the office, he walks, any little thing, no, I mustn't lose this job. Sir, he ended up losing the job. He was sacked. He was sacked for something flimsy. He was transferred to another branch. He got to that branch. And what happened? They needed to sacrifice somebody because they needed to shed weight. They said, well, we can't shed the weight of the old staff. Let's get rid of this new staff they just brought to us. That's how he was sacked. And I remember it was so painful and God spoke to me. It's because he's made this job his idol. I remember it was one strong lesson God was showing me too about somebody else. So that's one. Recognize the idols and ask God to help you. I had to go into a serious soul searching. And I began to see that nothing, one of the commandments of God, thou shall have no other gods besides me. God must be the center of everything we do. Relationships, God must be the center. Career, God must be the center. Ministry, God must be the center. Anything at all. So don't put anything else to be the center of, and your life revolves around. Children must not be, you know. So that's my own practical experience. So through prayers and everything, after, you know, I gave myself 6 months, I remember. And God helped me, and afterwards, my heart was now pure, and I realized that, no, this person can't be an idol, and must never be, and nobody must be an idol, or nothing must come that I begin to worship unconsciously. It's not when you bow, no, it's what you're thinking, what occupies the center of your thoughts. Okay, final question. About the fasting, can you bring that up? quickly. Okay, so good contribution play. No one should play with my food. Food can be an idol. Like movies can be an idol. A desired location, green pasture can become an idol. Can I build supposedly right altar, prayer service to God, but with the wrong sacrifice? You see, the real thing is the heart. Just check, always check your heart. What's the motive behind what you're doing? Is God the motive? Like a friend of mine once said, these things we do, we call ministry, we do service to God. What is the motive? Who takes the glory? Are you doing this so that, yes, they can say, oh, wow, he did this for God. You know, like Ananias and Sapphira. They saw Barnabas sell land, brought the proceeds, and they too did it. Their motive was wrong. So who takes the glory? So it's fasting a sacrifice for the altar. I'll leave you to address that, sir, and then we can go.
Fasting can be a sacrifice for the altar, because when you're doing the fast, what's the motive? As Pastor said, what's the motive behind the fast? So if you're fasting because you want that time, you want to set apart for God, then that becomes a sacrifice, because you're coming to God in fasting. So it's God you're coming to in fasting. So that becomes something you bring as an offering on the altar to him. Yeah. So very good.
The motive for your fasting. The key is the motive for every sacrifice. Because, you know, fasting is denying yourself of something. So it's a sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of prayer, sacrifice of thanksgiving, sacrifice worship. These are the sacrifices we bring. What is the motive? Sir, there's one subtle one. Oh, I've got to share this, my testimony. People must hear my testimony.
Yes, sir. Pastor has been sacrificed again. So wait back for him. So yes. Yes, Pastor, you're just all right. Sacrificed.
Yeah, that's it. I've been sacrificed. So what's the motive? What I just wanted to say finally. What's the motive behind people must hear my testimony? Is it so that they can see I have big faith? Or is it that they can see that God honors his word? And at the end of the day, the testimony of Jesus, the Bible says, is the spirit of prophecy. Who takes the glory? So let's check our motives. Thank you very much, sir. Final word from you as we hand over to the media team.
Yes, final words as we're looking at, Ezekiel 36, 25 downwards. And verse 25 talks about, he said, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Mm. So there's a possibility sometimes there are some idols you don't even know exist, but just come to God and let him cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. So that's my final word.
Thank you very much. Someone said, and I idolize an idea of marriage. You know, when you don't know when even the idea becomes an idol, because that's all you're thinking about. So let God be the center of our thoughts. Let God, by his spirit, guide our hearts. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if we are led by the Spirit of God, we will not fulfill the desires of our flesh. Let's just constantly check our motives. Thank you, Daddy AY.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for the contributions and the questions. Thank you, everybody.
God bless you as we hand over to the media. Amen.